What you need to know about the latest password breach, online scammers target buying online and picking up in store. I'll explain how. The Netflix price hike, it is coming. And how to get free Apple Music if you're a Verizon customer. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, coming to you today from Los Angeles, back from CES, back from the madness there, back from the big Nike event in New York City. It feels good to be talking to you once again on the podcast. I know throughout the holidays and also throughout the beginning of the year, it's been a little hit or miss, but my schedule here is every week. Once a week, we're going to be doing this where I talk about the latest stuff in technology, things I think you should know about, and I will eventually blend in some live phone calls here and there, but I'm not there just yet. But I will bring that feature back because I know you guys loved calling in, so I'll do that. But man, I've been busy. CES 2019, that's a wrap. That happened in Las Vegas first week of January or so. And man, I think I have stories for like the rest of the year. So two things that really went crazy during CES. This was just unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. So I did a video. You probably saw it if you're one of the 100 million people that saw this video. I think it's up to like 92 million. So it'll probably hit 100. But it's of the laundry folding machine. And this thing just went viral as soon as I posted it. It was so clear that this was destined for viral goodness. Because I saw it, I thought it was so cool. And anytime that I see something that I think is really cool, really unique, and I've never seen it before, I always think, well, I guess someone else hasn't seen it, because if I haven't seen it, there's probably someone else out there who hasn't seen it. So that's kind of what I decide is interesting in life, because there's a lot of stuff out there. But if I've seen it and I've seen it percolating, whatever, but this is something that I think I remember it from last year, but I didn't see the demo. When I saw this thing folding clothes, it was just crazy. It was like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. And so I put that video on my, I think I put it on Instagram first, and then I ended up sending it over to Facebook. And man, that thing, I've been getting requests from all over the world to repost that video. And it's kind of funny, when you have a viral video, what happens is people just steal it. Half the people just steal it and repost it. Half the people steal it, repost it, put your name on it. Other half of the people actually will email you and ask for permission, but then they'll still just put it on their site. So anyway, it's been great. I don't mind sharing it. If you haven't seen it, go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/richontech. It's called the Foldy Mate, and it folds your clothes for you, and it's $1,000 coming soon. The other thing that is now going viral, and this took a little bit longer, it was kind of a slower burn, was the foldable phone. So this is the Royal FlexPi, and this was, again, one of those things that I saw, and I was like, wait, when I saw this, it was really cool. It looked like sort of an iPad screen that you can just fold in half. And again, when I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, that's cool. So I've got to share it with people. And again, I posted it to my Instagram and then ended up sharing it to my Facebook, where it is now going viral again. That is at, it's over a million views, but it just keeps kind of building and building. And that one's really cool too. So anyway, if you haven't seen those, Rich on Tech on Facebook, go check it out. But let's talk about the big news of the week. The 773 million records in the collection number one data breach. So this is, again, another hack of a lot of usernames and a lot of passwords. And we see this happen all the time. But the only thing you really need to know about this is, yes, it's a lot of data, 773 million unique email addresses, 22 million or 21 million unique passwords, and 87 gigs of data. So this is a lot. It's a big dump. And this was posted to some hacker forums. It might have been taken down at this point, but once it's out there, it's out there. You can't really take things down on the internet. You might be wondering, is my data part of this? Is my password part of this? None of that matters, because we have gotten to the point in our world where you need to know one thing about your online security. Well, I'd say two things, I guess. Number one, do not use the same password over and over. That is the number one thing you can do to protect yourself. The reason for that, all these passwords they've gotten, they are linked to an email address. What do you think they do? They go to Spotify. They see if it works there. And in fact, in this blog post that I've got from Troy Hunt, this is the guy who, security researcher, who really keeps track of a lot of this stuff. He runs a website called Have I Been Pwned, Have I Been Pwned. So you can actually type in your email address to this website, and anytime your email address or shows up on one of these lists, they will email you and let you know. So I got an email that said, "Hey, Rich, you showed up on this big data collection, and you know, what do you do from there? You just have to hope that everything's okay and that one of the passwords you're using is a unique one that is not used at any other site." So he said one of the tools he did, they basically, or one of the tools online, is that they just pop these things into Spotify, and you can log into Spotify with some of these things, and it's just someone wrote a computer program that just keeps popping these password combinations in and sees if they work in Spotify. If they work there, then they go onto a different app. They can try them there. So they're running systems that you and I can't even fathom, trying these passwords at a million different places all at once and seeing if maybe one hits. And if they do, they'll clear out the account, you take the money, whatever, and just move on from there. So again, the number one thing to do, use unique passwords for every website that you create. I don't care if it's the dumbest website ever or the most sophisticated website like your bank account, use a very specific password. How do you create those? Use a program like LastPass, use a program like 1Password, that's the number one, and then Password, and a program called Dashlane. I like all three of those. They all have their pros and cons. But, and if you really want the protection, you do have to pay. So all of these programs, I think most of them are free to use, but if you really want to get the most out of them, you're going to be ponying up anywhere from $5 to a couple bucks a month. So a couple dollars to $5 a month for the full access to these programs. And by that, I mean, for example, with Dashlane, you can have Dashlane, you can use it. But if you want to sync your passwords across multiple devices, which most of us want to do, you will definitely have to have the paid account for that. Let's take a question now from Josie Flores to my Facebook page, facebook.com/richontech. Hello, thank you for all the info you give us. Can you please give me some idea of what to use to start a blog on YouTube? What camera, what microphone, etc.? Thanks, Josie. Sent from my iPhone. And when I see sent from my iPhone, that always gives me a good clue as to what type of device you're using, and it also helps me craft my answer. So number one, I would say just for starters, use your iPhone. You've got a great camera, you've got great tools, you've got great editing available. So I think before you invest a lot of money in anything, just use your phone, and your phone will be just fine. It'll take great video, it'll be flexible, it works. So go with that and start there. And the thing that I think you need the most, in addition to your phone, is a microphone. So if you want to make videos that people actually watch, you want to make sure the audio is legible, or not legible, but audible. So that is the reason why I recommend two different types of remotes. One is a lav microphone. This is a microphone that you see news people wearing. It's the kind that they clip to their lapel, right? Otherwise known as a lapel mic. So you can search those in Amazon, see what you come up with. I like the one from iRig. So this is called the iRig Mic Lav. And I use that one. It's great. You put it on someone, you can talk to them, you can plug it right into your phone, and it's just great. It's a great, simple solution, and the audio sounds way better. Now, if you want to step things up, that's maybe $50. If you want to step things up a little bit, there's a great microphone from Tascam called the DR10L. And this is a lav mic, but the secret about this mic is that it does not connect to your phone. So it actually records into itself onto a micro SD card that is inside the microphone. So what does that mean? That means you can be super far away from whoever you're talking to and still get fantastic audio because there's no cable connected to your iPhone. And you may be saying, "Oh, Rich, well, how do I connect it? How do I get that audio onto my video?" You're going to have to sync it up. So Final Cut can sync it up. Other programs can sync it up. But yes, there will be a little portion where you have to sync up your video and your audio to make that work. Now, the editing program I recommend is Adobe Premiere Rush. This is a program that I've been using. It's brand new. It is really, really cool. I love it because I can edit on my smartphone and my computer. You can start a project on your computer and finish it on your smartphone. You can do the opposite. I don't know. You could probably sync up video on your desktop. It's not going to be as easy as Final Cut, but you can probably do it. But it's not, you know, you'd have to, you know how they do that little thing where they do the clap? You know, you'll probably have to do that in your audio to get that right on the Rush, but you can do it. But again, it's called Adobe Premiere Rush. It's $10 a month. It is free to try, so definitely try that one. Much easier to use on your desktop, but you can use it. I've edited a lot of those videos on my phone. So the other thing I recommend is some sort of kind of holder for your smartphone. So I like the one from Oloclip. It's called the Pivot, and it's just a simple holder that you put your phone in, and it's a simpler way to grip your phone. And I use it. I love it. I've had it for, I think, a year now or maybe more, and it's really great. And again, those are the three things, Josie, I'd recommend that you use. You need a good microphone, good editing program, and a good way to hold your phone. And again, these are not the end-all solution to being a vlogger online, but those are very simple ways to get started, get into the business. And just the number one thing is just create the content, right? You can evolve. One of the most popular tech bloggers on YouTube, MKBHD, if you look at his original stuff, oh my gosh, the quality is nothing compared to what he puts out now. But the reality is he's been doing it consistently. And that you will find is the toughest thing to do when you're creating content. Believe me, I create content for KTLA. I create content for my podcast and also my Facebook page. It is a lot. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. And there's no way to shortcut it. So don't try to shortcut it. But you can start with the tools that are simple. And as you get better and as you get the feel of things, believe me, you can evolve stuff. I didn't have that microphone, the Tascam one I was talking about, until like last year. So I went many years without that. And believe me, it was tough. And now things are a lot easier with that microphone. Scammers always looking for a new way to scam us out of our money and our hard-earned cash and whatever else they can. Well, according to BuzzFeed News, the latest thing they're doing is taking advantage of the online store purchases where you can pick them up in store. So you purchase online and then you pick up in store. And here's how they're getting around this. So the company ACI Worldwide says that there's been a 13% uptick in scammers hacking into online accounts and doing this. And here's how they do it. They basically get your username and password. They order something for pickup in store. And then they go to the store and they can put in their name, whatever. It doesn't matter. If they need an ID at the store, they just show their ID because they're the ones that place the order. So why is this different than doing something like ordering a product from Amazon and then getting it shipped to their house? Well, they try to do that too, but here's the difference. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but anytime you try to put in a different shipping address for something that you order on Amazon, they ask you to reconfirm your credit card. And apparently these online retailers are not, or I guess these brick and mortar retailers that let you pick up in store are not necessarily doing that. And I'm trying to think, I've done a couple of these orders. I've done this with Best Buy. I've done this with Target. And I'm trying to think if I've done this with anything else. But both times, very simple. I think Target asked for my ID. I think Best Buy might have just asked for the email confirmation. Maybe they scanned a code on it. I can't really remember. But the reality is they're doing this, and it's just one more way they're scamming you out of your cash, out of your stuff. They could probably only do it once before you catch on. But the way they say to kind of protect yourself from this is, again, you want to have those unique passwords for all your accounts so they can't, you know, get into your Best Buy and then get into your Target and then get into your Macy's and then get into whatever else you shop at. So that's number one. Two-factor authentication. So if someone's logging in with your stuff, you will get a login notice. And the other thing you need to do, and I've done this, is enable phone alerts for any purchases that happen on your credit or debit card. And yes, it could be a little annoying, but you know what? I don't mind because it actually helps you see how you're spending your money. So you guys know, if you listen to me, I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan. I don't like to just automatically spend money without me knowing it, right? So all those automatic bill payments, yes, they love Netflix and all these companies. They love automatically billing you, right, to your credit card. And yes, I do that. But when you see that charge every month, it's a nice reminder that you are spending your hard-earned cash on these services. So yes, I get that it's simple and it's easy and it doesn't hurt to have it, you know, go through your credit card or your debit card and it's just taken out of there so nicely and silently. But when you see these little notifications coming through on your phone saying that you just spent another $13.99 on Netflix, it gives you a little bit of pause and you think about it, did I get $13.99 worth of value out of my Netflix last month? And I know I didn't, but you know, it just depends. My point is it's good to know those things are happening. So turn on the alerts. And that way, if you see an alert, and I've gotten some weird ones, because especially like gas stations and stuff, you'll get like an alert and you're like, wait, what is that? Because not every company is listed on the alert the way that it's said. Like sometimes it's like a random other name and it'll throw you for a loop sometimes, believe me. Or in my case, my wife and I, you know, we share an account. And so I'll see that she charged something and I'll be like, wait, did you do this? And you know, yes, she'll tell me 9 times out of 10. Yes, she did. Oh, speaking of Netflix, this is pretty big news. Netflix is raising prices for all of their 58 million U.S. subscribers. And they may be raising them in other countries, but I'm just talking about the U.S. right now. But yeah, price is going up for Netflix. And according to the Associated Press, this is the biggest increase since the company launched its video streaming service 12 years ago. So the most popular plan will see the biggest price hike. Oh, no surprise there. So if you're paying $11 a month right now, which I think all Netflix plans are like $99. I think it's like $10.99. So you will see your price go up to $13 a month. So that's the option that's the most popular. You get HD streaming on two different devices simultaneously. But if you're on the plan that I'm on, which is the premium plan, this is the 4K plan, I pay $13.99 a month, I believe, and it is going to $16 a month, so another $2 price increase. And so I guess if you're doing it, you're like, well, Rich, those are both $2. So I guess $2 is a bigger percentage of 11 than 14. So I guess that's why they're saying the 11 to 13 is a bigger price hike than the 14 to 16, even though it's still $2. But this is a tough one for me because I love Netflix, but I'll be honest, I do not watch a lot of Netflix. And I'm not a big fan of the kids' shows on Netflix. I don't think they're very good. And I kind of like what Nick and Disney have for my kids better. And my wife, she does watch it. So it has become a debate in the DeMuro household over whether to keep Netflix, especially with this price increase. Now, $16 a month is not going to make or break me. But still, when you look at the value you're getting, I'm paying $40 a month for my DirecTV Now, which I get every channel imaginable. And I'm now going to be paying $16 just for Netflix. So that is a large amount. That's almost 50% of what I'm paying for like 70 or 80 channels for just one channel of Netflix. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'll probably end up keeping it, but I don't think this is going to make a lot of people reconsider Netflix because it's only a $2 increase. But again, they're becoming like the cable companies that we all were so excited to ditch. But guess what? The same thing's happening just in a smaller way. Cable companies would probably raise rates by, you know, $5-$10 over a year, but this, I don't know, maybe not that much, but this is $2, you know, every couple of years, maybe every other year, but it's happening. Netflix has consistently crept up, and as people get 4K TVs, I don't think there's a real need to get a 4K Netflix subscription because most people don't really care so much about the screen quality or the video quality, but for me, it was more, I didn't care about the 4K part. I actually cared about getting my downloads on more devices. So when I first did the reason why I bumped up my subscription plan was because we all wanted our iPads for a trip. And I realized you couldn't download your shows onto more than, I think it was two iPads. So I had to change my plan. Maybe it was three. Whatever it was, we had one too many and I had to switch things up. And so that's what I did. I subscribed and it's all good. I've had it now for a while, but we'll see. Anyway, so Netflix is going up. Obviously, they need to pay for all this original programming. They have so much original programming that they're doing and the prices are going to be immediately increased for all new subscribers. If you're an existing subscriber, it will roll out to you over the next 3 months. I'm guessing that has to do with your billing date. So I don't know if everyone on Netflix is billed on the same day, but maybe there's like a rolling billing date where it's like maybe the first third of the month, the second third, and the third third. And that determines when you will see this price hike. But the reality is, a lot of people paying extra now for Netflix. It's a very popular service in America and around the world. So there may be some decisions to make, but I think for most people, they'll probably just absorb that cost. And if it gets any higher, I think that's where we're going to start seeing people think about the price they're paying for Netflix and what they're getting for Netflix in return. Well, talk about taking the good and taking the bad. Just as you're paying more for Netflix, you might be able to save some money on your music subscription because if you're a Verizon customer, Apple Music is now included in two of their popular unlimited plans, the Beyond Unlimited and the Above Unlimited. So Beyond Unlimited is $50 a month, Above Unlimited is $60 a month. That's if you have, I think, four lines. If you have just one line or two line, it's actually a little bit more expensive. So let me see exactly how much that is. So I have two lines. So I think it's so tough. Again, after I was just telling you that I look at all my bills and stuff, sometimes these things evade me. And I think it's $180 a month for two lines at Verizon, which I think is a lot, by the way. That's, to me, that's very expensive. But yeah, if you have two lines, oh yeah. Okay. So it's $80 a month or $90 a month. If you have one line, it's $85 or $95. And that's if you have auto pay. So realistically, one line for Verizon to get this free Apple Music is $90 a month. If you do auto pay, which by the way has to be with a debit card, not a credit card, you have to do debit card or you have to do your checking account. That's not $85 a month. So $90 a month for their standard plan that now includes Apple Music. If you have the above unlimited, you will also include this. If you have the Go Unlimited, which is their cheapest unlimited, that's $75 a month after auto pay. That does not include this. So by the way, just to tell you how many gigabytes I've used on Verizon this month, I am up to 195 gigabytes used with 6 days left in my billing cycle. Now, this was a busy month with CES, and I was in New York for the Nike event, but I will say Verizon has been a champ. I switched to them a while back, and I've gone over my data pretty much every single month, and I'm not getting throttled, which hopefully Verizon's not listening and they mark my account to throttle it, but I have not noticed any throttling. So I am going over my 22 gigs of, you know, data where they don't throttle you. If you're on the higher plan, the above unlimited, you get 75 gigs before they throttle you. So Verizon's been pretty good to me in that respect, because believe me, I am a power user on my phone. I am a power user in all sense of the word. But if you want to add this to your account, just go to verizonwireless.com/applemusic, and it's very simple. You just add it. It's one click, and then you confirm. And then you basically get a link to Apple Music. You know, it's already on your phone usually if you have an iPhone. And all you have to do is link up your account, and they figure out that you have this Verizon plan with your email address. It's all linked on the back end. But if you're already paying for Apple Music, you will have to cancel your Apple Music through Apple, but they help you do that as well. It's all part of the flow. And then you just basically get free Apple Music. And Apple Music versus Spotify, I will tell you a couple things about it. Number one, I think Apple Music is very good. I think that Spotify is obviously in the lead, but I think that Apple Music is just as good. I think in some cases it's better because it's a little bit simpler and it's more integrated in the iPhone. So two ways that Apple Music is better than Spotify is that Apple Music lets you offload stuff onto your watch. So you can have playlists stored on your watch. You can have music playing from your watch to a Bluetooth device like headphones or a speaker without your phone being nearby. So for me, this comes in handy because I'll go on a run with just Apple Watch and headphones, Bluetooth headphones. So you can do that. Right now, you cannot do that with Spotify, although I will say that is probably coming any day now with Spotify. Pandora offers it now, offline music, and so I think that Spotify will offer it literally any day that will be added. So if you're only switching because your Apple Watch doesn't work with Apple Music or Spotify, don't switch just yet. The other thing is when it comes to voice commands. So Spotify does not work with Siri. It's not integrated, but yet Apple Music is. So if you want that flexibility of being able to call out, hey, I want to play this playlist or this song in your car, or just by saying those magic words, hey, clearly, I don't want to activate your phone. But if you just want to do that, that's another reason to maybe switch. Now, the reason not to switch is think about all the places that Spotify is integrated for you. So for me, I've got it on my Google Home Hub. I've got it on my Google Home speakers. I don't really want to lose that functionality, but with Sonos, I do have that as well. You can use Apple Music with Sonos, so that's fine. But you just have to think where you're using these things and how it would affect you to switch to Apple Music. Apple Music, like I said, is pretty good. I mean, I think it's really good, actually. But the other place that this kind of is, you know, going to make you have a decision to make is if you have a family plan with Spotify and you have two or more people on there. So if you're at three people on a family plan, I would say stick to that because you're paying $15 a month for three people. With Verizon, if you have two lines, yes, you can get two individual Apple Music accounts. If you have three lines, you can get three different accounts. But again, you have to have one line per account. So I personally think that the way Verizon should have structured it is if you have two lines of unlimited, they should have given you Apple Music family, because then you can, it's kind of the same thing then. You have two lines, so now you have, you know, because two lines is technically $20 a month worth of Apple Music, right? But Apple Music family is only 15. So do the math. They could be offering you unlimited for three people or four. I think it's up to six, actually, with the family plan for the same price. But they're not doing it that way. It is linked to each individual account, and you get a one-line free account, one free Apple Music individual account. So those are the decisions you have to kind of consider. I'm just helping you along. But again, if you want to do that, just go to verizonwireless.com/Apple Music to get started. I did it. It's pretty simple. If you're on the 6 months free plan, it will automatically carry over and just turn into a unlimited paid for, you know, as far as Verizon takes this with Apple, as long as they keep doing this and don't discontinue it. Let's move on to an app that might be the next big thing. It's called Squad. Reading an article in TechCrunch here. It's a screen sharing chat app. And for me personally, I love this because maybe I'll just start doing screen shares where I can show you how to do things online, like, hey, how to navigate through an app or whatever. But you can have up to six people video chatting and screen sharing what you're doing on your phone. Looks like it only works with iOS right now, thanks to something called Replay Kit, which was built into iOS 12. And I feel like teens are going to like this because think about all the things you can do. You can swipe through Tinder. You can kind of come up with status updates. I don't know if you can watch a movie together. That might be interesting. Talk trash, whatever you want to do. But, you know, you can kind of surf the web with one of your friends online. I can see this being popular with teenagers and maybe even folks that live in different places. But that's the new app. It's called Squad. I have not downloaded it, but I just wanted to make you aware of it because it's one of those things that your kids might start using or you might find a use for it. You never know. If you're doing the tech support in your family like I am all the time, this might be a good way to do it. And it's kind of funny. The only thing you have to be careful about is if you are on your app, there might be some private information on there on, you know, that you would have on your screen that you might not want to share in live time. That's pretty much the only consideration I can think of. But again, you're with your friends, so it's not like a live stream per se. But again, it's called Squad. If you want to check it out, go ahead and download it and let me know what you think. Now, I told you I was in New York for the Nike Adapt BB. So it's funny, sometimes these companies don't necessarily tell you what they're going to announce, but Nike said, hey, we're going to bring you out here. We want you to see what we got. It's going to be tech focused. And I went 2 years ago, something similar, and I thought it was really cool. They did the self-lacing sneakers called the Hyper Adapt. Well, this is the new version of them. It's called Nike Adapt BB. These are basketball sneakers that have Nike's new self-lacing mechanism in them. And I will tell you, I think they're really cool for various reasons. Number one, I think it's pretty cool that that sneakers will lace up on their own. And I love the lacing mechanism because it is basically the tightest fit I've ever felt with a shoe around my foot. And the reason for that is that the way the laces cinch around your foot, they go not only in the normal part where the tongue is, but also around the back of your foot. So the cinching does the tongue and the back. And I will tell you, it's a very, very tight fit. You can adjust the fit. There are buttons on the side of the shoe where you can adjust the fit, but you can also use your smartphone. So this is a smartphone connected shoe. It's got all kinds of sensors inside. In fact, more sensors than I think Nike is activating at launch. But I think in the future, we are going to hear a lot of stuff where you can see how high you jump, how hard you jump, how hard you're impacting your soles of your feet, what the impact is on your knees, all kinds of data, how often you're on your feet. I mean, think about it. This is even better than an Apple Watch because it's sensing what you're doing all day long on your feet. So they're going to have some really good data inside or from these shoes. And they're expensive, $350 for starters right now. But here's the thing. The price of the shoes that came out in 2016 were $720 or over $700. So the fact that they got these prices down half in 2 years is pretty good. It's a testament to just how fast technology is evolving, how much better technology is getting. You know, when they talked about these shoes, you know, of course we saw them in Back to the Future 30 years ago before they were actually possible. In Back to the Future, they just had Hollywood hack it together, right? With strings and ropes and all this stuff that they pulled from underneath the shoes, apparently, according to a Verge video I watched. But nowadays, it's real. So it took them you're talking 30 years to actually come up with the technology to make this happen. So I thought these were pretty cool. I'm not going to buy them for $350 just yet, but I love the idea. I love the implications. I saw a lot of people discussing on my Facebook page about how lazy are we getting? How lazy are we that we can't lace our shoes? Well, it's not about laziness. Number one, it's about performance for actual athletes, right? They want performance on the court. They want that tight fit. They don't have to worry about their shoelaces coming loose. And if they're on the side of the court, you know, taking a timeout or whatever, they can easily loosen their shoes with one of the presets on their phone, or I don't know, they're probably not going to be using the phone court side. Maybe they are. But, you know, they can use, you know, the presets to kind of go through tight, loose, middle for maybe just walking around. But there's many more implications of this. Think about it. For kids, instead of Velcro, you can have these shoes that lace. For, you know, for people that have problems with their feet, maybe you have a special condition where you need, you know, a shoe that's a little bit looser when your foot swells up, or maybe you just had, you know, who knows? There's a million different things out there that people can have that this can be adapted for. And at the end of the day, I love seeing technology evolve. I love seeing Nike continue to push this forward. And I do think that in the future, there will be a version of sneakers that are self-lacing. Not everyone has to get them. If you don't want them, don't buy them. But if you need them, or if you want them, or you can afford them, go ahead. And the technology is going to get cheap. Believe me, in the future, a lot of these shoes will have this technology that are just standard pairs of sneakers. And by the way, I spent over $100 on my last pair of Nikes. I think with tax, it was like $130. That's not too far off from $350. That's another $200. So Nike will get the price down on these sneakers. Will not be overnight, but they will get the price down and they will make them better. And the analytics and data that we're going to get from these sneakers is going to be pretty awesome, especially if you're an athlete. If you're an everyday person, it might just help you lose weight or something, but or stay in shape. But for athletes, this was probably some pretty good information because they built a lot of sensors into these shoes. Now, you do have to charge them, by the way. So they're saying a charge, overnight charge, will last probably 2 weeks. But yes, one more thing to charge. It is wireless charging, so you have to put them on this little wireless charger. But it's pretty slick. I think this, compared to the first round of shoes that they showed me, this is way better. They definitely did a very nice job. All right, Apple, just a little quick hit on Apple. They released some smart battery cases for the iPhone XS, the iPhone XS Max, and the iPhone XR. So if you've been wanting one of those Mophie-style battery cases for the iPhone, they call them the smart battery. They are available. They're $130. I'm actually considering getting one of these. I love my Spec Presidio grip case, but I do love the idea of having more battery life on my phone, because right now I'm at the point where at the end of the day, especially a busy day, I'm recharging. But especially if I'm on the go, if I'm just like in my car for a good half an hour driving somewhere between a meeting or something, I can definitely go the whole day with my phone with just that one little recharge. Maybe, you know, half an hour there and then maybe a half an hour home will be enough for my phone to recharge. But if you're at a conference or you're out on the road all day or you're out and about, you know, this is a really good thing because it adds a lot of extra battery to your phone. Now, the difference between these cases and previous cases is that these support Qi charging, which means you pop it into your phone, and maybe they did this with the last ones, but you pop it into your phone and it's actually wirelessly charging your phone with the wireless charging. So you're not actually plugging in the bottom of the case right? So what that means is your lightning port is also left open. So if you want to plug in headphones, you can use them. So $130 adds technically 33 hours additional of talk, 21 hours of internet. So you're getting anywhere from 33 to 39 extra hours of talk, 25 to 27 hours extra of video, and 21 hours to 22 hours extra of internet. Now, I don't know anyone in the world that uses their phone and says, oh, I got 21 hours of internet off of my phone today. No, the way I see it is just kind of how many hours your screen is on, or how, just, you just know, did you get a good use out of your phone today or not? So this will definitely increase your battery usage on your phone, make it a lot better. Just so you know, Mophie is coming out with a similar battery pack, and theirs is called the Juice Pack Access. So it's not available just yet, but I did get a preview of this at CES, and it will be available very soon. First quarter, it's $10 less. So it's $120 versus $130. So I'm just saying, if you're considering one of these battery packs, the Mophie works in almost identical fashion. So it is, again, a wireless charging pack. You put it on the back of your phone. It clips on just the same way it would. You clip it on, it will wirelessly charge your phone, and it adds a very similar amount of battery time. They're saying theirs is 25 hours of talk time versus 33 for the one from Apple, but I think you're going to be happy with either one of these. So, you know, just something to consider. And again, it's called the Mophie Juice Pack Access. And again, it leaves your lightning port on the bottom of your phone available when you have this thing charging. So, all right, let's just end on this. Google paying $40 million for a portion of Fossil's secret smartwatch technology. This is according to an article in wearable.com. So Google bought a part of Fossil. They did not buy Fossil. They just bought some sort of intellectual property related to smartwatch technology under development. And they say that this is going to launch in a new innovation that has not yet hit the market. What does that mean? Who knows? But the reality is, let's hope for a Google Android sort of smartwatch, or I guess I should say a smartwatch for Android users that rivals what the Apple Watch offers. Right now, when you're on the Android side, your selection for smartwatches, there's a lot of them, but none of them have been a breakout star. So the Fitbit is great, but it doesn't have the integration with all of your apps. The Galaxy Watch is great, but again, it doesn't have the amount of apps that I'd like to see on there. And all the other Android wears are just, to me, not very good. So we need something like the Apple Watch on the Android side. Hopefully, Google paying $40 million for this secret tech will bring that sort of product. And with that, that's going to bring me to the end of the show. Just want to say thanks for listening to the show, and thanks to anyone who is newly listening. I will tell you, with the 100 million views on the Foldymate, I picked up a lot of new followers. So I have a bunch of new followers on Instagram, a bunch of new followers on Facebook. So welcome to any of you folks if you're listening. I do appreciate the follow. I don't know if every video I put out is going to be as amazing as the Foldymate, but I will do my best and I will try. But again, the Rich on Tech community has grown exponentially in the past 3 weeks, and I do appreciate the growth that I've seen for you guys following me. If you've been with me since the beginning, I do appreciate that as well. Thank you for listening. You know me. If you don't know me, you know that what my mission is to do is to help you. I know you're busy. I know you're at work. I know you're with your kids. You're with your friends. You're with your family. You are not keeping up on all the latest tech stuff. It is my job to keep up on all of it and give you the best parts of it. And that's basically my goal, is to help you get the most out of the technology that you have, to kind of keep up to date on the various things that are happening in the tech world, to give you a very clear understanding of what you need to know, how you can use that information, how to save money, how to, you know, just kind of to be a smart tech consumer in today's day and age without being overly obsessed with technology like I am. So I read all the stuff. I kind of come up with what I think you should know about, what I think you need to know, how to protect yourself from these online scams. And also, when I see cool, fun stuff that I want to share with you, believe me, I'm going to share it on my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can follow me at Rich on Tech on all those places. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks to everyone who purchased the book. I know you guys are now sort of in the process of reviewing the book. The reviews are great. So I do appreciate those. If you feel like you haven't finished it, but you still want to review, just, you know, leave a review on Amazon that kind of mentions one of the tips that you like, or something, an aspect of the book that really helped you out, because that helps out other people. You know, like say, hey, you know, I have an iPhone 5S and I didn't really think if this book was going to help me, but it did. I love the thing about the iCloud backup. Whatever you want to do, it definitely helps me for you to review the book. So please review the book on Amazon. That helps me out a lot. Thank you for purchasing it. I do appreciate it. And of course, I love your feedback. You can always get in touch with me at any time. It's hello@richontech.tv. I know you guys, some of you like to tweet me. Some of you like to Facebook message me. Some of you like to Instagram message me. I will tell you, if you want the fastest answer, email is definitely the best way to get in touch with me, because I am looking at my email all the time. And sometimes things get lost when it's texting and when it's DMs and when it's Facebook posts. But email does not get lost, because I am always going through it on a daily basis. The rest of it, you know, I do look at it, but it's not as much or as with the same frequency that I look through my email. So again, thanks so much for listening. Links to everything I talked about here in the show notes. You can always find cool stuff I talk about at richontech.tv. I'll see you on KTLA 5. You know, I'm on there in the mornings at 5:45 a.m., 7:45 a.m., and 9:30 a.m., and of course, stations around the country as well. I'm Rich DeMuro. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you real soon.